tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode and program of this beautiful and wonderful series, Dimensions of Islamic Life, where we discuss different facets of our lives as a Muslim and the challenges that we face in our day-to-day life together with the Islamic solutions. And alhamdulillah, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss conceal faults and attain paradise, the condemnation of fault-finding. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, before we dive deep into today's episode and topic, let's first of all extol the virtues of reciting Salat and Salam in the court of beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we always do. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recited Salat upon me 3 times in the day and night out of yearning and devotion for me, it is upon the mercy of Allah to forgive the sins he committed in that said day and night. Allahu Akbar. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. There is no doubt that we can earn huge reward from listening to Islamic discourses, Islamic teachings, alhamdulillah, learning and teaching from one another. And mashallah, in this regard, there is a beautiful book published from Maktabat Madina, and its name is Laws of Salah. And there is a narration, an explanation given by the scholar Sayyidina Abdul Wahhab Ash-Sha'rani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Sayyidina Abdul Wahhab Ash-Sha'rani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he is a great high-ranking wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a very great alim of Islam. He mentions in the narration that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was in the wudu area of Kufa's Jami Masjid, where he saw a young man performing wudu and drops of used water were falling from his body. The Imam exclaimed, "Repent from disobeying your parents." The young man immediately said, "I have repented." Another man came with drops of wudu water also falling from his body. Then he said to him, "Repent from adultery, my brother." Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, when he said to him this, he said, "I have repented." The Imam then said to yet another person whose wudu water was falling from his body, and he said to him, "Repent from drinking alcohol and listening to the music." This person also said, "I have repented." As Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was blessed with the spiritual insight and was able to see the faults of people, he asked Allah Azza wa Jal to take this away from him. This was accepted, and he was no longer able to see the sins of people being washed away from wudu after this. Subhanallah. We have just heard of how the leader of millions of Hanafis, Imam Abu Hanifa, Sayyidina Nu'man bin Thabit rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, could see the sins of people falling from their bodies with their wudu water. And as the water they used for wudu dripped from their bodies, he was able to see them. This was indeed a great saintly miracle of his. Yet he disliked being aware of others' faults and shortcomings. He ultimately made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ability to be taken away from him, as he was able to see this through his spiritual insight, through his kashf. And this story also contains a lesson for those who may love Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, as we are his devotees, alhamdulillah, we are his followers, but constantly remain in search of other people's faults. Always bear this in mind, that it is haram to deliberately search for the faults of Muslims without a reason sanctioned by Sharia. In the 12th verse of Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah Azza wa Jal declares, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, meaning, and do not search for hidden faults. If someone mentions the fault of a particular person, but in a manner by which the listener is clearly able to tell who he is speaking about, this itself is one sin. Yet, if the fault of an Islamic scholar is revealed in this way, the sin will be even greater. And the proof of Islam, Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, he writes in his book, Kimiya Sa'adat, that to reveal the mistake of an Islamic scholar is haram for two reasons. Firstly, it is backbiting. And secondly, it will make people reckless and they will use it as proof to do the same. They will also daringly make the same mistake openly. Moreover, Satan will also incite such people and such person to follow in this mistake by saying that you are not more pious than so and so scholar, so you should openly commit sins, ma'azallah. There shouldn't be any form of encouragement to commit sins. The more people know about the mistake of a scholar, the more sin will become widespread. As Muslims, we should refrain from finding out about the faults of people. If anyone tries mentioning them to us, we should turn them away and not listen to it. We should not entertain such gossips and such backbiting. Suppose that we happen to find out the fault of someone by accident, we should seek to cover and hide it from them. Without a valid reason authorized by Sharia, we should not disclose it to others. There are three beautiful hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in this regard. And in the first hadith, the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever concealed the fault of his Muslim brother, Allah will conceal his fault on the day of judgment. And whoever disclosed the fault of his Muslim brother, Allah will disclose his fault to the extent that he will humiliate him in his own home. In the second hadith, the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he who alleviates the difficulty of a Muslim, Allah will alleviate their difficulty on the day of judgment. And he who conceals the fault of a Muslim, Allah will conceal their faults on the day of judgment. And in the third hadith, the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that he who conceals the fault of his brother after noticing it will be admitted into paradise. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Such great reward we stand to gain if we conceal the faults of our brothers, inshallah, azza wa jal. So let's learn this beautiful Islamic value and together with that, make amal upon it. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to make amal on this beautiful ahadith of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, we have a beautiful kalam for you in the praise of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we'll be back shortly after listening to this kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subh-e-tay صرف دے
چند گام ہو
تو جب ہے فرشتے یہ قبر میں کہہ دے مزا تو جب سبیح مد حت خیر الانام ہو جائے سبیح مد حت خیر انتظام ہو جائے سلام کے لیے حاضر غلام ہو
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سبحان اللہ, حضور ایسا کوئی انتظام ہو جائے, سلام دینے کو حاضر غلام ہو جائے. آمین بجاہ نبی الامین. سچ اے بیوٹیفل کلام. ایٹ دا سیم ٹائم اٹ از اے پلی ان دا کورٹ آف دا بلیوڈ مصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم دیٹ وی مے وی بی گرانٹیڈ دا اپرچونیٹی اینڈ توفیق to present ourselves at the Rauza Mubarakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to convey our salam and our salutations personally, subhanallah, and physically we are present there and we are reciting durood and salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this dua. Ameen bijahi nabiyil ameen. Dear viewers, Imam Abu Dawood, the author of Sunan Abi Dawood, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, has mentioned that there are four ahadith which will be sufficient for a religious affairs of a man. And these four ahadith he mentions, he says the first hadith is, innamal a'malu bin niyat. Indeed, the deeds are considered by their intentions. The second hadith he mentions, al-halalu bayyin wal-haramu bayyin. What's halal is clear and what's haram is clear. And the third hadith he mentions, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه, that none of you can become a true believer until he loves for his fellow brother what he loves for himself. And in the fourth hadith he says, the fourth hadith is, من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه, that it is from the beauty of a person's Islam to abandon what does not concern him. So let's inshallah focus on this last hadith of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to abandon what does not concern us. If something is not bothering us, there is something we have no dealing with it, then we shouldn't now poke our fingers and try to dig and find. This at times can yield to undesirable results, and we may ourselves not like it, and the person about whom we're doing fault finding, of course, it is rude to say the least, and it is a grave sin to backbite about people, to find faults and to slander someone. And there are many examples that can be given. For example, if a person lives in a rented home, someone approaches that person, maybe a friend or a relative, and he approaches him and asks him, what kind of a person is the landlord? although that person doesn't have any dealings with the landlord. And this question, although it's not a sin in itself, but it can lead to many sins, because we are now entering a territory where we don't have any business. For example, if the tenant says in reply to this question that, oh, him, he is a very dishonest, ill-mannered and a miserly person. In this manner, the tenant has disclosed three faults of the landlord. And if the landlord really has these three faults, then it will be considered as three cases of backbiting, which is haram. And if the landlord, he does not have these three faults, then these words will be classed as slander, an accusation. If someone asks this question merely to know the faults of the landlord, then this is an act of fault finding, and this is an act of sin, which itself is haram. Allahu Akbar. Just by asking a very irrelevant question that shouldn't have concerned the person. Now it caused the tenant to speak lies or slander or backbite about that person. If a person rents, for example, a house and someone asks him what kind of a person is the tenant, now somebody is asking the question to the landlord. And although this question is not a sin in itself, it can lead to many sins. For instance, if the landlord turns back and says that, oh, he is a very deceitful and never pays rent on time. This person is very deceitful and he never pays rent on time. He is also messed up how many houses? Allahu Akbar. He has messed up his property. In this manner, the landlord has disclosed three faults of the tenants. If the tenant really has these three faults, then this will be considered three cases of backbiting. And if it is not true, then it is slander and false accusation, both of which are haram. In the third instance, let's say, for example, somebody asks the employer, the boss of a company, that he hired someone as an employee. And someone goes and asks him, is your new employee any good? To ask this question without a reason sanctioned by Sharia amounts to fault finding. Why shouldn't this concern you? There's a great chance the person replying may become sinful by making remarks about the employee, such as if he says that, no, he's very lazy when it comes to work and he doesn't work to the standard that I want. Just by asking this question, we are actually provoking that person to lie or to backbite. It could go either ways. And if we hadn't tried to find the faults of this employee, it wouldn't have happened. So we need to keep to ourselves. We need to mind our own business sometimes. And it helps. It keeps you focused on things that matter. And it leaves the clutter out of your life, things that don't matter to you. And there are instances where we just ask people random questions. That if we were to ask somebody, oh, you stay awake late at night. You stay awake late at night. We found somebody who was awake till late at night. And we just assumed about him. We didn't know, but we are assuming. And we pass a remark that, oh, you stay awake so late at night. Do you even read Fajr? Before you ask the question, you are already belittling that person. Another instance, you approach someone and you ask him, do you read Salah or not? Isn't it being inquisitive? Does he read Salah for your sake or for the sake of Allah? Allahu Akbar. Another instance of fault finding could be, does your father offer salah? So these are the type of questions. And then based on the answer that is given to them, they will now make an opinion. about what opinion they will hold about that person and that person's family, his father, or whoever his relatives, which shouldn't have concerned us in the first place. At times it may come from a place of concern because you are concerned about the well-being of someone, but there is a very thin line and we must know where to draw the line. If it's a dig, we shouldn't even go there. But if it's genuine concern, you're asking about the well-being of somebody, how are you feeling, are you okay? This is good and well, alhamdulillah, you are showing genuine concern for someone. And there are times when somebody may have ill intention and twist the question around and ask in such shrewd way, which comes across as this person is not actually is not concerned about my well-being, but it is rather a dig. Oh, so you recovered? When you recovered? I haven't seen you around. You didn't even come and see me. So these are the type of questions now that goes beyond the well-wishing and concerning part of things. Then it becomes a dig. Then you start to dig into person's personal life. There are instances where people may ask you that you've not worn new clothes yet. Have you read Eid Salah? Meaning, if you do not have the new clothes on, the person is automatically assuming that you haven't performed your Eid Salah. How nice is that? Imagine if someone were to ask you the question, how would you feel? Is wearing new clothes synonymous to now performing Eid Salah? Is it a prerequisite to perform Eid Salah? No, it's not. But the person already had an evil assumption about you. Meaning, he's not concerned about your Eid Salah, but rather it's a dig. And he's trying to find a fault within you. There are instances where some people may ask you in the month of Ramadan, oh, you look very fresh today. Are you fasting? I mean, come on. A fasting person doesn't have to be looking like half dying. A fasting person can be fasting and is still looking fresh, subhanallah. He is fasting for the sake of Allah, not for your sake. These are the type of things that we need to learn to avoid. What is it of our concern if somebody is looking fresh? As long as that person is fasting and the fast is such an ibadah, such a worship that is between the bondman and the creator. And you can't become a mediator in between. You have no business. There are other examples that people may ask you, such as in the month of Ramadan, somebody asking you, how many fasts have you kept this Ramadan? How many fasts have you kept this Ramadan? Is it the person coming from Guinness Book of World Records to record your name in the list of those people who have fasted 30 days? Is it a person who's concerned about your well-being, your fasting? Can he help you with your fast of Ramadan? You need to see this kind of remarks and questions when people approach you, that they are trying to find a fault within you. What if you said for some valid reason? So for some valid reason, one day, maybe it's the 20th of Ramadan, and you tell them that I've only kept 18 fasts because I was gotten very sick and I was bedridden for the 2 days that I didn't fast. And then that person is going to think, oh, so you missed your fast of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. And that is again not a genuine concern. It is again a dig. And then this person may take this information, may plaster it all over the place, may tell your friends, relatives. He may even omit that last part that you were so sick that you were bedridden, you were hospitalized. He will omit that part and he will tell people, oh, you know, this person, he missed 2 fasts of Ramadan. You get people like that. There's another example, fault finding. Somebody may approach you and ask you, did you miss your Taraweeh Salah? Somebody may approach you and ask you, did you give all your zakat? As he is appointed as a zakat inspector. So this kind of people, they are not genuinely concerned about you. What if someone approaches you and asks you, is your wife a good person? Are you supposed to disclose the faults of your wife in front of this stranger who's asking you the question? No. It is none of his business to ask you this type of questions. So when people approach you with these type of questions, you must know that this person does not have any genuine concerns for you. But this is all just a dig to find out your faults and then spread the message and spread rumors about you. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from these evil actions. Ameen bijahi nabiyil ameen. As the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in his Mubarak hadith, that the one who conceals the fault of a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal his fault on the day of judgment. This is now we need to keep in mind. Eyes on the prize. Our prize is Jannah, subhanallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us the glad tiding of attaining paradise upon concealing somebody's fault. Subhanallah. So yes, what do we get more pleasure out of? To gossip about someone or to gain the pleasure of Jannah? Of course, for a believer, we ask for Jannah and paradise in every day in our du'as after every salah. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam wa ilayka arja'u salam. Fahayyina rabbana bis salam wa adkhilna al-jannata dar as-salam. Wa Allah, enter us Jannah, the house of peace. Allahu Akbar. And we ask this dua, whereas our actions, they say otherwise. So let's keep these lessons in mind, these valuable advices that we have learned, alhamdulillah, from the life of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, who is the imam of millions of people. And he had this superpower. You know superpower? These saintly miracles, Allahu Akbar. And they are the possessor of true superpowers, the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The miracles that were displayed at the hands of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Allahu Akbar. The imam of millions of Muslims, he was given this superpower to see the faults of people, to see the filth of the sins of people dripping down from the water of their wudu. And he wasn't pleased with it. He wasn't pleased to see the faults of people. What if it was this superpower was granted to us? What would we do with it? Allahu Akbar. May Allah have mercy on us. As it is, that people go to such an extent to find out the faults of others that from one house they will use binoculars to look and peep into the house of somebody else. And I've seen this. People do this. This is reality. This is our reality. That we stoop so low to fault find, to find the faults of people, to find what's cooking in the neighbor's kitchen before we light our own stove. For example, nowadays, neighbors, they don't see eye to eye. We don't fulfill the rights of neighbors, but we can stand at the fence and gossip about the whole society with the neighbor from the fence. And this is the reality. We need to introspect and better ourselves as Muslims. Imagine if we were given that superpower that was given to Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. What evil would we do? Yet, the Imam of his time, the Imam of millions of Hanafis, he asked, he made dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take away this superpower and this ability of spiritual insight to see into the faults of people, because he didn't want to see the faults of people. Allahu Akbar. This wish and this dua of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was answered on the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such and make us among those individuals who respect others' privacy, who don't indulge in the fault-finding of other people and take pleasure in it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those that if we are made aware of somebody else's faults, we learn to conceal it, inshallah, azza wa jal, because we as the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we want to be jannatis, not ghibatis. Inshallah, azza wa jal, with this in mind, We have now come to the conclusion of our today's episode and program. And as we always do, we alhamdulillah introduce a beautiful segment and a beautiful book of Maktabatul Madina in each segment every day, in every episode, alhamdulillah. And in today's episode as well, we are going to introduce a beautiful publication of Maktabatul Madina, inshallah, azza wa jal. You can either purchase the physical copy of it from the bookshop of Maktabatul Madina in your locality, in your area, or you can download the digital and the PDF copy of the book from the website of Dawat-e-Islami by visiting www.dawatislami.net. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, now we are going to listen to a beautiful nasiha of refraining from fault-finding by the great Muballigh of Dawat-e-Islami and a close colleague of mine, mashallah. And he is none other than Sayyid Muhammad Madani Damat Barakatumul Aliyah. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we are going to listen to this clip and nasiha, after which we'll return and discuss our publication for today. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Respected viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, do not find faults in others. Our beloved Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned very beautifully in a hadith wherein he says, one who concealed the fault of his Muslim brother, Allah Azza wa Jal will conceal his fault on the day of Qiyamah. Respected viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, listening to the beautiful ayah of the Holy Quran and to the beautiful saying of the final Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we need to ask ourselves the question that, are we finding faults in others? Are we exposing the faults of others? Or are we concealing the faults of others? We need to look into ourselves and see which category do we fall in. Another blessed saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is, one who conceals the fault of his Muslim brother after noticing it will be admitted into paradise. Subhanallah. Many a times we see the faults of people and we notice that people are telling others about the faults of others, exposing their faults. And this, dear viewers, is a very great sin and a very despicable one, because by doing this, it causes hatred into the hearts of fellow Muslims. It causes malice into the hearts of fellow Muslims. And instead of uniting everyone, you will be disuniting everyone. So let us practice the beautiful saying of Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by concealing the faults of our fellow Muslims. Insha'Allah, Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam. Dear viewers, welcome back. As you have listened to this beautiful nasiha and advice by the Muballigh of Dawat-e-Islami, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Damat Barakatumul Aliyah. And alhamdulillah, as we are back to discuss our publication for today, and the book that we have chosen is A Mother's Regret. The title of the book is A Mother's Regret. In this book, on page 4, it is mentioned the account of the regret of a mother who disheartened her child in religious matters. It reads as follows, that parents should provide an environment for their children that promotes righteousness and acting upon the sunnah from the very beginning. Otherwise, if children become corrupt due to bad company, it can lead to irreversible damage. This servant of Medina, meaning the author, was told this incident by his elder sister, that an Islamic sister was crying and asking others to pray for her son to come to the right path. The poor woman was saying that she herself caused his ruin. They had him join Madrasatul Madina to memorize the Holy Quran, but Whenever he would return after learning some sunnah and mention them in the home, they would make fun of him. Eventually, his heart was broken and he stopped attending Madrasatul Madina. And he now remains in bad company and has become a troublemaker. She is fortunate in that she has found the Islamic environment of Dawat-e-Islami now, but she feels great regret over what will become of her on account of her son. Allahu Akbar. On page 5, it is mentioned that we need to encourage our children to attend the sunnah-inspired gathering of Dawat-e-Islami and attend yourself as well. There are many blessings of such gatherings. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that there will be such people on the Day of Judgment who will neither be prophets nor martyrs, but the gazes of those who look at the illuminated faces will be dazzled, seeing the station and proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The prophets and martyrs will express joy. A companion asked, "O Messenger of Allah, who are these fortunate people?" He replied that they will be people from various tribes and cities who would gather to remember Allah and would select pure words the way a person who eats dates chooses the best dates. Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, on page 6, it is mentioned that to fill your heart with the fear of Allah and instill love and devotion for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam into your soul, do away with the habit of sinning. Increase your passion for good deeds and make yourself an embodiment of the Sunnah and remain attached to the Islamic environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Travel in Madini Qafilas for at least 3 days every month and live your life acting upon the pious deeds booklet. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, if we continue to do these things, inshallah, there is a hope that we will come to the right path. Inshallah. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Let's inshallah listen to an inspiring story and parable in this regard for motivation. That there was once an Islamic brother who, prior to his association with Dawat-e-Islami, would waste his time in the company of wayward friends. And there was hardly a sin prevalent in society which he was not involved in. Meaning there was hardly any sin in which he didn't have a hand, pursuing women, harassing them, wasting the nights in clubs, spending the day playing cards and verbally attacking family members when they attempted to advise him, had all become normal for him. He was living his life in sin when he was fortunate enough to come across someone who worked hard in offering him good advice. By the blessings of this, he found the Islamic environment of Dawat-e-Islami. By being around those who loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he attained passion to do good deeds and avoid sin. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So the company is very important. The company we keep has an effect. Therefore, Maulana Rumi rahmatullahi ta'ala very beautifully says, "Suhbati salih tura salih kunad." May the company of the pious make you pious. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, let's conclude our today's program and episode with the recitation of durood and salam in the court of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.